Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all back again. Some have been off sick. We're glad to see you back. Let's turn to the little book of Jude, near the end of the Bible. Little book of Jude. We haven't got too far yet. We're still at the first verse. That's not because I'm very slow. Well, maybe I am. But that's not the reason why we're still at verse 1. It is because there's so much in God's Word. So much in every verse that you can spend plenty of time looking at just a verse. Well, we have been considering in the last study or so the three titles that are given to the Christian here in verse 1. Jude says that he's writing unto them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So, there's the three titles. Those who are sanctified, those who are preserved, and those who are called. I might just ask you to notice something. You have a mention there of the divine Trinity. Father, Son, and then I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit is mentioned, not by name, but by the work he does. Look at it quickly. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and called. Why no mention of the Holy Spirit? The Father's mentioned, the Son's mentioned. Why not the title or name of the Holy Spirit? Well, without going into any great detail, let me just say this. And I want you to remember, the role, the task, the duty of the Holy Spirit is to exalt the Lord Jesus. And therefore, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit rarely promotes anything to do with himself. He's always promoting the Lord Jesus. And that's evidenced here. He's silent. The Holy Spirit's the one that's prompting Jude to write. But he doesn't prompt Jude to write in his name, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as it's commonly expressed throughout our Bible. No, the Spirit of God, as it were, takes a back seat and promotes the Saviour. And that's a truth, as I say, is evident here. Now, the order that's given here starts with God the Father, and boys and girls, everything starts with God the Father. But I have been looking at the reverse order, because the work of God the Father is seen outwardly in the life of the Christian. The work of God the Son is a work that takes place inside us. And then, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit likewise takes place inside. He it is who really begins the process of conversion. He it is who speaks to our hearts and convicts us of our sins and points us to the Lord Jesus, and then our eyes are open to recognize the fact that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the order given here, but I have reversed it because I wanted to start on the inside, the work of the Holy Spirit calling us, then the work wrought by the Son of God within us, and now we come to the last title, which is the first title. I hope that's not too confusing for you, but I have just reversed the order as we study these titles to that which is given us here in this verse. We're looking then at the fact that Christians are called those who are sanctified by God the Father. I was thinking of a verse over in Ephesians, and you older ones can check this out. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us something important. It's a wonderful doctrine. It was emphasized on the Lord's Day by the minister here. In the chapter 1 of Ephesians, it speaks about God the Father. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's a wonderful explanation, you know, of God's great plan. A plan he drew up before the world began. That's what it says. It tells us that this plan is a very old plan. God hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, verse 4. Just you think on that. Here you are today, and we're setting ourselves the task of thinking about God and what he did. And we're discovering that he was thinking about us before the world began. Long before we ever appeared in this world. If you're saved today, God thought about you and planned good for you. That's an incredible thought. Well, what it is that God the Father does, according to Jude, is that he sanctifies us. Now, we're going to consider then just what it is that is referred to here by this word, sanctified. Now, it's not a common word, doesn't occur in many conversations, but nevertheless, it's not a difficult word to understand. It simply means, and I'm giving you the definition of the Greek word that is translated in English by the word sanctified, it simply means to make holy, to consecrate, to dedicate, to set aside for the purpose of God. Now, we can see examples of this in various areas in society. On one occasion, when I visited Israel, I went to that place which is called the Wailing Wall, where Jews assemble. It's the last bit of the great temple that the Lord Jesus preached in and wrought miracles in. In fact, it's only a foundation wall, and the Jews, religious Jews, assemble there to pray. It's called the Wailing Wall because many of them are weeping that the great temple has been reduced to this, just one wall. Well, that day that I was at the Wailing Wall, there was a large number of soldiers there, all lined up, standing to attention. And it turned out, I didn't know this before, that every new recruit in the Army of Israel has a passing out parade at the Wailing Wall. That's where they are set aside to become soldiers. And that happens in every army, though it doesn't happen at the Wailing Wall. But if a man joins the British Army, there will be a passing out parade, and he officially is set aside as a soldier. It happens to policemen. It happens to nurses. It happens to so many in society when they are publicly, officially set aside for the task that they have chosen to perform. Well, that's what sanctification means. It means setting aside. God sets aside those who are Christians. And from that moment on, just as a soldier is known by his uniform, a nurse is known by her uniform, a policeman is known by his uniform, they are distinguished by the uniform of the office to which they have been set aside. Well, that's the way it is with a Christian. When a Christian is set aside, you can know them. And boys and girls, I want to stress that. If you're a Christian and you have been set aside by God to serve him, to be holy, to walk with him, to obey him, then you are going to stand out the way the soldier stands out from the crowd because of his uniform. The nurse stands out from the crowd because of her uniform. The policeman stands out from the crowd because of his uniform. The Christian stands out from this wicked world by their behavior. They're holy. They're walking with God. They're obeying God. They're set aside. So then, let's learn. Every true Christian is a changed person. If you are saved this morning, you are today what you were not before you were saved. Oh, you haven't changed in your face or your physical appearance. Oh, but you've changed in your behavior. You've changed in your behavior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17, a verse you should all know and remember. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I can tell if you're a Christian by looking for that change, seeing evidence that there has been a great alteration within your being. You are not today what you were before your conversion. The very word conversion means change. Again, those who have been changed, those who have been set aside for God and by God, will be walking in obedience to his word. What place does the Bible have in your life? If you're a Christian, it has an all-important place in your life. In this land, the law is that you can't drive a car on your own until you pass a test, until you obtain a license. And in order to get that license, one of the things you have to do is to study the highway code. I was just reminded yesterday that the highway code is forever changing. They're forever altering bits of it. And as a driver, you're forever really needing to read the latest edition of the highway code. Well, God is a highway code. You're holding it in your hand. It's the Bible. That is the set of rules, if I might say, by which you have to live. The difference in that and the highway code that the driver has to follow is that that never changes. God never adds to the Bible. It's complete. It'll never have things removed from it by God, nor will it have things added to it by God. Now, men will do that. Men will come along and say, "Oh, that bit of the Bible, you needn't bother reading that. It's no longer important or of any relevance." That's man's lie. Or I should say, that's man telling the devil's lie. On the other hand, they come along and say, "Here's what we should add to the Bible." And that again is man only telling the devil's lie. God's law never changes. And if you are a Christian, you will know by the fact that you live by the Bible that you really are a Christian. That will demonstrate the fact that you are sanctified, set aside, holy, the Lord's. We should study the Bible, boys and girls, in order to make sure that we're living by it. I'll tell you a wee story. I wasn't too long saved. In fact, I was only saved probably a month or two. At that time, I was living in Belfast. Well, I come down to visit an uncle of mine who lived, he's in heaven now, near Listenskee. And I come down for a wee holiday. And on the Lord's Day, we were going to a little house meeting. And on the way there, I saw a garage, a filling station. And I needed some change, for I assumed there was an offering at this meeting. And I said to my uncle, "Would you pull into the garage so I get some money change?" And he did that. And I went into the garage on this Sunday morning, and I bought a bar of chocolate in order to get some change. And I came out and sat down in the car and was opening the chocolate, and my uncle said to me, "You know, Ivan, we shouldn't go into shops on the Lord's Day." It was as if he punched me. I instantly knew that really that was right. But I'd just forgotten about it. I was only saved, so these things were somewhat new to me. I've never forgotten, however, the sense of wrongdoing, the sense of realizing I had forgotten what the Bible taught about keeping holy the Sabbath day. But I've never forgotten it ever since, that I should keep holy the Sabbath day. You see, we need to study the Bible to make sure that we're living according to what it teaches us, because we can forget. Just the way you can forget the times tables. If the teacher just brought you into the classroom and said, okay, I want to hear you recite the seven times table, you'd be stuck for a minute, maybe more than a minute. Because these are things we need to be reminding ourselves of when going over. And that's the way it is with the Bible, boys and girls. The Christian then is someone who lives by the Bible, studies the Bible in order to keep its teaching. Then, if we live by the Bible, boys and girls, we're going to be very different from all those out there who don't care that much about the Bible. All those who, even if they are taught the Bible, don't want to live by it. If we are really saved, we will be those who want to live by the Bible, and that will make us different. Just like the policeman in the uniform, he'll stand out in the crowd. You'll see him right away. Nobody else is dressed like him, or the nurse, or the soldier. And the Christian will stand out in the crowd because they're dressed in obedience to the Bible. They're doing what the Bible tells them to do. Peter says this, 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us, or be sufficient, for us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, the unbelievers, when we walked in sin, that is, lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. We just walked the way of the world in the past, Peter says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot or lawless living, speaking evil of you. Here's how we used to live, but we no longer live that way. And therefore, those old companions of ours think we're strange, that we're not living the way we used to. I tell you, if we are going to obey the Bible and live for God according to its teaching, we're going to stand out from the crowd. We're going to be different, boys and girls. I might just quickly say this. That word that Peter uses, strange, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them anymore. I was surprised when I looked it up, for the Greek word translated strange there is linked to a lodger. Do you know what a lodger is? You don't? Well, a lodger is someone who may come to your house, not part of the family, a stranger, and who pays your mum or your dad money to be fed and to have a bed to sleep in. Your home, as it were, becomes, for that person, like a hotel. And they're staying in your house, paying to stay in your house, but they're not part of your family. They're a stranger. Do you see how that word strange is linked to someone who's a lodger? A lodger is a stranger in the house. And you and I are in this world as only lodgers. The world doesn't look on us as part of the family. We're odd. We're outsiders. We're different because we follow the Lord and we obey the Lord. I come to my final point now, for time is up. The Christian being different and being picked on by the world because they're different is but bearing the reproach of Christ. You see, if you're set aside by God and are living according to the Bible, then you will be the subject of the same opposition, the same hatred, as that which fell on Christ. The world didn't like the Lord Jesus. From the very beginning of his ministry, when he came forth, having lived for 30 years quietly, he came forth You remember he was baptized and there came the voice of God the Father from heaven saying, "This is my Son." And as soon as the Lord Jesus was introduced as the Son of God, the opposition began. From then on, every time he preached, there was somebody to object and call him names and oppose him. And almost immediately, there were those who were beginning to scheme to kill him. And if you're going to walk with God and obey the Bible, you will encounter the same sort of opposition. The Lord Jesus said that. John chapter 15, the verses 18 to 20. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." This is John 15, verse 18. "But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I have chosen you out of the world, I've separated you from the world, you're sanctified, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Boys and girls, that is the lot of the Christian who seeks to walk with God. Let me just close by saying it's an honour to be looked upon as the friend of Christ. It's an honour to be picked on by the world because you're a Christian. It's an honour, I tell you. And it's an honour that may not be seen in this world, but one day, before all of mankind, the Lord Jesus will come to you if you have walked with him, obeyed him, and been picked on by the world because of that. He will come to you and he'll put his hand upon you and he will say, "This person stood for me, honored me, and I now honor them before all of humanity." What a day that will be. Sometimes there are those who are brought before the king or the king's representative and they're given a medal or some other token of esteem. And there's a picture taken of them. And they're outside Buckingham Palace holding their medal. And everybody's saying, "Isn't that a wonderful honour to be given that?" Ha! It's nothing to the honour that Christ will give to those who have stood for him and suffered because of that. Boys and girls, if you're a Christian today, you'll be a changed person. You'll not be what you were. And if you are still what you always have been, then you're not a Christian. You're not a new person in Christ. And you need to recognize that and hasten to the Savior for salvation, that you might be born again, made a new person, and then begin to live according to the Bible, sanctified, holy, set aside for the cause of God. Let's bow in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will write this word upon the hearts of boys and girls, this which is thy word. Let them understand what it is to be a Christian. Let them look at themselves in the light of that truth. And let none, O God, just drift along, simply thinking themselves to be Christians when they're not, and thus being lost for all eternity. But, O God, may every boy and girl, every pupil in the school, know what it is to be saved. Bless the school today. Preserve it, keep it. Help teachers, help parents. O Lord, bless the school for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.